I'm Alan Hall, president of WeatherGuard Lightning Tech, and I'm here with founder and CEO of Intelstore, Phil Totaro, and the chief commercial officer of WeatherGuard, Joel Saxham. And this is your newsflash. Newsflash is brought to you by our friends at Intelstore. If you want market intelligence that generates revenue, then book a demonstration of Intelstore at intelstore.com. Renewable energy provider Octopus Energy has announced a strategic investment in California-based floating offshore wind company, Ocergy. Ocergy designs and manufactures lighter modular floating foundations for wind turbines, aiming to reduce the time and cost of building offshore wind farms. The investment, which is estimated between 8 and 24 million pounds, will help commercialize Ocergy's technology and fuel the company's expansion into new markets, including the U.S., U.K., France, Norway, Italy, Japan, and South Korea. Now, Phil, California offshore is going to be almost all floating, has to be. Does this make sense for Octopus to get in early and to basically choose a winner for a floating platform to move California offshore ahead quickly?
Yeah, this is interesting because, I mean, there are a number of companies out there with a number of floating platform designs. So that said, with the scale that Octopus Group brings in general to any investments, particularly those of subsidiary, you know, Octopus Energy, you know, you just rattled off all the countries that they want to be able to go develop projects in. I mean, most prominently, though, is Octopus has already co-invested in some of the projects in the UK and Scotland, where they're going to be building a ton of, you know, it's like, I forget how much, it's like 8 or 9 gigawatts of floating offshore in the next, like, you know, 5-6 years. You know, and then there's going to be more, you know, more to come in that market alone, plus all these other ones you mentioned again. So this is, I wouldn't necessarily characterize it as they picked a winner. I think they're, you know, placing one bet on one company and they're going to see how it goes. And, you know, they are the type to be a little bit pragmatic and they'll want to potentially spread it around a little. But this looks like a promising enough technology that, you know, given a lot of the lessons learned from all the early stage prototypes, I think this company is, Ocergy is well positioned to be able to, you know, scale this technology up.
Yeah, when you look at the Ocergy technology, it's fairly simple. It's not a high-risk technology either. It's something that's been developed. It's been used in oil and gas for a long time. It's just basically a triangle floater, and that's all it is. So they're not taking a wild flyer on something here that hasn't been done. I think the next legitimate investment here or partnering would be make sure that you have a good mooring company as a partner in going to these floating offshore wind farms, because that's something we haven't had to do with fixed bottom offshore wind. But it's going to be a problem for floaters.
Timken Company, a global leader in engineered bearings and power transmission products, reported mixed financial results for the first quarter of 2024. The company experienced a 9% organic revenue decline, primarily due to significant downturn in China's wind energy sector. Now, Timken has a strong EBITDA margins at 20.7%, which is fantastic, and adjusted earnings per share of $1.77. But it is highlighting some issues with the changing market conditions. And I always say, if you want to know the health of the company, look at their suppliers. And Timken is a big supplier of bearings and moving components in wind turbines. If they're seeing a 9% organic decline and that's focused on China, what does that mean, Phil?
Well, you got to take a look at the number of factories that have been opened in China to do things like bearing development and integration into, you know, drivetrains and the overall nacelle design. Basically, what's been happening is the Chinese, with all this push in onshore wind and offshore wind towards bigger turbine sizes, they've been importing a lot of Western developed technology, including bearings from Timken, or having Timken, you know, come over and kind of domestically produce in a Chinese factory. what's happening now is a lot of the domestic Chinese bearing manufacturing companies have now gotten some, you know, government investment or grants or subsidies, et cetera, to be able to go and build their own factories to have these bearings for the, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, megawatt onshore turbines and the, you know, up to 18 to 20 megawatt offshore turbines. So they're trying to be less dependent on Western companies at this point. So that's basically what that boils down to. The problem and challenge for Timken is that they're going to be intrinsically tied to growth in Western markets now if the Chinese companies are going to start moving away from sourcing components from Western companies.
The Irish government has approved a 100 billion euro strategy to scale up offshore wind energy after 2030. The Future Framework for Offshore Renewable Energy report sets out a policy pathway for Ireland to deliver 20 gigawatts of offshore wind by 2040 and at least 37 gigawatts by 2050. The strategy aims to de-risk the market for developers and provide critical support through the state investments in port development and power grid strengthening. As you look towards Ireland, they're planning ahead, Phil. This is something the Americans should think about.
Yeah, we could learn a lot of lessons. But look, the Irish have been, you know, wanting ever since, you know, Arklow Bank 1 got built, they've wanted to be able to exploit their offshore wind resource, which is tremendous. There are already a number of projects kind of in a development pipeline that are going to give them something like, I think 6 to 8 gigawatts here by about, you know, 2030. But, you know, these targets that they've set, it's fairly ambitious. And, you know, €100 billion investment is going to help them facilitate a lot of the things that need to happen in terms of infrastructure, et cetera, that they're going to need to do to facilitate this this kind of buildup and this kind of build out and scale up.
You know, when I was at Bilbao, I ran into Kerry Muldoon from the Northern Ireland Maritime and Offshore Cluster, they call it the NEMO Cluster. And she introduced me to quite a few people from Ireland there that are really trying to, you know, put their collective eggs in the basket and put all their efforts towards getting more offshore wind in Ireland. So you have a whole group of people. Of course, you're going to have those clusters and stuff, but you have a whole group of people in a country behind making this happen. And I guess in my experience, and Alan, maybe you can mirror this, the Irish can get some stuff done.
Historically, they have, for sure. And the planning on Ireland's part is amazing. I think this is fantastic, and a lot of countries should follow it. Danish renewable energy developer Ørsted has announced its exit from the French market with the sale of its Ostwind France business to ENGIE, of all companies. The transaction, which is expected to close in the second quarter of 2024, includes Ostwind International, Ostwind Engineering, and its onshore wind and solar units in France. Ørsted's decision to sell Ostwind France aligns with its updated business plan, which emphasizes concentrating efforts on the UK, Ireland, Germany, and Spain markets for onshore wind development and solar in Europe. Phil, Ørsted is reorganizing, is going to be stronger than ever. This is a really unique step by them to sort of concentrate on specific areas. I think it's a smart move.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, though, because they just bought into Ostwind only, what, 3-4 years ago, I want to say, and now divesting it again. But it's necessary in the current kind of climate and the context of, you know, what's going on in their global business. The real challenge, though, in France at this point, and the challenge for them certainly, has been a lot to do with the permitting timelines and the amount of project pipeline that France has in offshore. They've already got, you know, close to 10,000 turbines installed. There's, you know, a portion of that installed base that's aging and you know, is going to need some repowering. So there will be opportunities in France, but it's going to be, I guess, a little too finite for Ørsted, who would obviously rather focus on what they consider to be more lucrative markets. So, you know, a responsible and pragmatic move from them. And, you know, at the end of the day, certainly a good thing for NG to be able to, you know, continue adding to their coffers.